Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Saturday morning. From the Kia Studios, nine floors up. Lovely Midtown Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Grinshaw with you. Waiting for the sun to come up. It is a game day Saturday morning because, you know how Braves are playing. We got NBA playoffs going on. We got a lot of happening in sports. But, and there's some hits and misses in this sports weekend because of some things that are missing that we anticipated and some people that are missing that we anticipated being involved in this sports weekend. But we'll get in that as we move along this morning. Hope all is well with you wherever you may be around this area. This is the weekend before the holiday weekend. That's the first official holiday of the start of summertime that we mark. That is because, you know, the school year winds down and Memorial Day and all those things that are coming up next week. So this is the week before, and a lot of things on the menu. First of all, our Braves, they're home this weekend, and what should have been a bumpy road, the bumpy part of the homestand because of the competition they were facing, has ended up going pretty well for our home team. After taking two out of three from St. Louis, they take the first game from Milwaukee. They do it in, you know, putting a lot of runs on the board. 12-8 final score, Braves with a win. Big win for them. They get nine runs in the sixth inning. Max Fried goes out and does what Max Fried does. Six solid innings. Gave up only two hits, walked two, struck out five, no runs. Home runs, Donaldson, Flowers, Freeman, Swanson. That's great. Bullpen, Braves still hang on to get the win. Bullpen, you know, once again, last night was one of those nights. The gates open, you don't know what's going to come out, what your results are going to be. And got knocked around some there in the latter innings. But the Braves hang on for the win, so it's great to get the win over a Milwaukee team that just gave them fits last season. So that's the first game of the weekend set. That is great. And the Braves trail Philadelphia by a game and a half. Are we watching that now? Is it too early to start watching scoreboards and standings? And I don't think so. I mean, maybe not scoreboards, but at least you want to keep an eye on the standings. You know, we know where Philadelphia is. We know what we feel like they have the potential to do. And we just don't want to see them get too far out in front there. We want to make sure we can keep an eye on those guys and reel them in if we need to. Kevin Gausman is going to start this evening, 7:15 game time. He's 2-3, had a better outing his last time out, had a win over the Brew Crew last year, the Braves. And Chase Anderson is expected to be back off the IL and get the start today for Milwaukee. That's at 7:15 out at SunTrust. It'd be good to see the Braves go out and get another one, hang another one on this Milwaukee team. Speaking of Milwaukee, we're talking about Milwaukee. Fear the deer. Bucks get it done last night, and it wasn't close. 125-103 over the Raptors. I mean, they had to come from behind to win game one in that series, and last night they just looked like an invincible team at home. We'll see what happens when they go up north to take on Toronto there and continue the series. Right now, they're looking just in charge. They're hitting three-pointers. And a thing of it is a variety of people are contributing. Everybody thinks it's going to be Giannis, you know, Antetokounmpo. Everybody thinks he's going to be the guy that does everything. And he does his part. He had 30 points, 17 rebounds. That's great. But you got other people off the bench. His son Ilyasova, who we know very well, who played for a time here, got double figures. Malcolm Brogdon, double figures. You know, Chris Middleton, double figures. You know, Nikola Mirotic. You got a lot of players there who are contributing when that team gets on. And I think people don't underestimate the bench for that team and the contribution that the bench makes for that Milwaukee team that makes them really a complete team and a threat, I think, to whoever comes out of the West. And looks like that will be Golden State, looking like it right now after they took the first two games of the series over Portland. So it looks like that's going to be the matchup we're going to get for the finals. I think it could be entertaining, especially if Kevin Durant is not up to playing. And right now, this is a bit of a cloud, a little bit of a mystery around this thing, because people thought, you know, he was going to be back, you know, kind of soon, and now no one will say when he's going to be back or if he's going to be back. And the longer he's out, the more you start to think maybe he won't be back. And if that's the case, I think Golden State can be had. I really do. A team that loves to cause matchup issues and matchup problems and confusion for other teams are facing a Milwaukee team that can cause matchup problems, too, as they've shown in these first two games against Toronto. Kawhi Leonard goes out and does what Kawhi Leonard can do, but he's going to have to get more help than he got in the game last night. And he got 31 points. That's nice. But, man, he's got to get more. Kyle Lowry, 15 points. You know, he usually gets help from Siakam. They have to come a long way and do a whole lot better when they get back home in that series. So, right now, Milwaukee's in charge, up 2-0, winning the first two games there in Milwaukee. And so we see what happens as the scene shifts to go up north to Toronto. Meanwhile, tonight, Golden State is in Portland. In Portland, this is an important game for them. The first game of the series at home. Can they defend home court and get a victory? That is the big question. Will they be able to do that tonight? And a lot of people will be watching to see. It's a 9 o'clock tip, so it's a little bit not as late as some of the games. Some of these games have been tipping at like 10 o'clock, 10:30. That's just been ridiculous. but I know it's the time zone, and I know, you know, it doesn't make sense for us, but it makes sense for where the games are being played. 9 o'clock is tip-off time for the game tonight between Portland and Golden State. And we'll see if Portland can win one there. PGA Championship, and that's the thing I want to talk about this weekend, two things that were supposed to take place were supposed to be really good. One thing is happening today, the Preakness. I don't know if anybody's going to watch this thing because, you know, the pre-Derby favorite won't be there. The horse that finished first at the Derby won't be there. The horse that was declared the winner of the Derby won't be there. And, you know, I'm here. I got Greg on the other side of the glass. He's over here doing stuff over here, and he's busy and whatnot. But, you know, Greg and I don't know how much he knows about horses. I don't know anything about horses. I think we could take Mr. Ed up there today and run Mr. Ed, you know, or maybe Trigger or one of the Clydesdales and just put him in there. Because who knows these horses that are at this thing? And, you know, it gets back to what I said last week. As instant replay just killed this whole event, this whole triple crown of horse racing, you know, our quest for perfection, our quest to get it right, that just killed the whole thing. Nobody cares because of replay. Maybe replay, we don't do it for everything like that. Maybe, but we want to know it. We want to get it right. We want to see it. We want to use the technology, and that's what we get. We got a race nobody's really going. Outside of the folks in Baltimore, I don't know who's going to care about that one. Also, we got the PGA. This is supposed to be a big weekend for the PGA because Tiger was back at his first tournament since the Masters, and he's not playing through the weekend. Gone from Bethpage. Yeah, and Greg reminds me there will be no red shirt Sunday. But there will be a shirt we're talking about, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Put a pin in that. We are talking about a shirt. Tiger rounds of 72 and 73 plus 5, and he misses the cut. And he just looked rusty. I mean, he's been enjoying his Masters win, and, you know, it means a different thing to him at this stage in his life and career. And he's enjoyed that, you know, enjoyed it with his family, you know, went to the White House and was honored there. He's enjoyed this victory lap, which in the other majors that he won, he just moved on to the next one because he just felt like, there was always going to be a next one. And he's taking his time to really enjoy this one. So he goes out. Some other people at plus five who got on the good ship and left yesterday. Bubba Watson was at plus five. Sergio Garcia was at plus five. So they're all out. And they won't be around to watch Brooks Koepka do what he's doing to this course. He shot a 63 first round, a 65 yesterday. He's at 12 under par. All the experts and everybody that I talk to or listened to or read early in the week, said that this wasn't supposed to happen at this course. This course was supposed to just consume these golfers and just, you know, just frustrate them and just devour them. This course was supposed to do that. It's long, difficult. The rough is, it can lose small kids in this stuff. That's what I heard was going to happen. And all Brooks Koepka has done is going out there and just put on a show. And today, if he goes like 2-under, just 2-under today, it's going to be a victory lap tomorrow. I mean, he's 7 shots ahead of Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott. Those guys are 7 shots back. You go back one more shot, you got Dustin Johnson. Now, the day is moving day. But they got to do a whole lot of moving. And Koepka has to come back to the field a little bit to make tomorrow interesting. Other than that, you know, Koepka is going to do it. And, you know, the thing about it was he spent the last 2 days playing in the same threesome with Tiger. And, you know, Tiger's off the tee wasn't great and his putting struggled. He was long off the tee. He got good distance. But after he hit a tee shot, Koepka comes up and just bomb one. You know, and that's the thing you're going to see with golf. And this is a guy, obviously, who grew up studying Tiger and watching him and wanted to emulate some of the things that he did. Hey, he's a big guy, you know, looked like he could play some other sports. You know, and he's, you know, he just overpowers things. But he does have the touch around the green. And obviously, you know, you got to have that in order to win. He's the total package this week, folks. He really is. And he's looking like it. 63 and 65, 12 under par. And he is your leader going into the third round today up in New York. Now, you mentioned Tiger and not having the red shirt. There is a shirt with Tiger right now that is making some news. There is a new shirt with a second logo, and we've seen the Tiger Woods logo with a TW forever. It was back at Augusta during the press conference. He didn't wear it during the play, but in the press conference, he wore a different shirt with a Tiger logo. They call it Frank. Frank is the name of the head cover that Tiger had. He's famous for having the Tiger head cover over his driver for years. The name of the head cover has a name. The head cover is called Frank. And so the Nike folks have come up with a Frank design. Now, the T-shirts you can find, you probably can find those in some stores here locally. But the polo shirt quietly was dropped yesterday.
One minute.
And the website just exploded, and they're all gone. Of course, you can go on eBay and find one. You know, people always grab something like that, put them on eBay. I don't know what the face value for one of these Frank the Tiger Woods shirts is, but you can go on eBay and find them starting at about $155, and I saw a couple listed for like about $350 if you just must have one now until they can restock the website, the good Nike folks. But there's a new Tiger logo, Frank the Tiger, that's been available in a T-shirt. Now it's available in a polo. So while it's not a red shirt Sunday, there is a Nike shirt that's, you know, it's not counting red, but it's counting green because the money is rolling in, even though Tiger's rolling out. we're just getting started. We're going to come back and get into the NBA, into the playoffs, into this week, into the lottery draw and what it means for our team, what we think, what it means for the future of the league. We get into that. We're just getting started on this game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw on a Saturday morning. Nice looking outside, like no clouds. It'll be a beautiful day outside. Warmed up yesterday, though, so get ready for it to be a little bit warm today on this Saturday. Of course, we have Atlanta United going back to work tomorrow night. They'll be playing the Red Bulls, which I think, to me, they are our rival, I think. I know Orlando City is supposed to be the rival, but I think the Red Bulls are the team that may have given us such a problem. And tomorrow you can hear it here pregame at 4:30, the kick at 5 o'clock, playing on the road up in New Jersey with this one. So we'll see if they can continue the roll. Atlanta United has just been rolling right now. We wondered what the problem was when the season began. Clearly those things have cleared up. You know, and everybody's looking for the opportunity to be a part of something good and something positive. They won up at Vancouver, 1-0. Look to come back and see if they can win another one. This is more like it. This is more like what we remember from our team the first two seasons. And they look more like a team that is coming off winning the MLS championship and, you know, ready to possibly win another. Listen to see. Mike Conte, Jason Longshore will have the call for you tomorrow. Pregame at 4:30, kick at 5. All right, NBA playoffs. We talked about a little bit about this Milwaukee team and what they're doing over Toronto. The fact that Toronto had an advantage over them in game one and Milwaukee just reeled them in. And they're going out and just went about their business. Great shooting accuracy, hitting a lot of threes. Last night they got them off to a really good start and had a big cushion. You go 64 points in the first half. They scored 64 points. This is in the Eastern Conference Final. Those are numbers, to me, that's not supposed to happen. Pretty much maintain a 25-point lead to 20-point lead for most of the ball game, and the final score is 125 to 103. And we look at this, and I know we kind of like say, because of who's coaching the team, mostly in Atlanta, because it's Coach Bud. Coach Bud's doing a job. He's doing a job, but he has a type of player that he didn't have an opportunity to have here in town. It kind of reminds people more of a player that he was an assistant coach with for many years in San Antonio, and a Tim Duncan kind of player. Giannis is a little different from that, but a guy who can do a lot of the same things. And so he's you know, I think that's the big thing for Giannis too, to be coached by someone who coached a player like Tim Duncan. And but he showed last night that he doesn't have to be the whole show. That's what he's really shown through the first two games. He is the guy you want to stop. But if you want to try to shut him down, you can't shut everyone down. There's some other players on that team that will step up and will contribute offensively. And that's the thing about this. And I think a lot of people think that if you haven't followed Milwaukee, and I listened to some people out of town and some other shows, and they were talking about, you know, how you know they only have the Greek Freak. I don't know who that person's been watching. He had obviously maybe been watching some highlights or something on somebody's late night show or something, but he has not watched a game with the Milwaukee Bucks. They are a sound team, sound defensively. They did some things to frustrate Kawhi Leonard, you know, and dare the other players on the team to beat them, which is something which is smart. I was listening on radio to it, and Hubie Brown, you know, the Hall of Famer, said, you know, others would be wise to get a videotape of what Milwaukee is doing defensively right now, showing you how to basically frustrate a player who has a one superstar player and what to do, because he said they're doing an excellent job of it. And it makes a difference. And so if you can get off to the kind of lead they got off to offensively and have that many people, and they had six players in double figures. If you're going to go out and do that, that's going to win you ball games. And it's also important when you consider who they may face in the final, because we know how Golden State rolls up the points. And we've basically seen a return of the Splash Brothers, because they've gone out and taken charge, kind of because they've had to, but just to match up with the backcourt that Portland has. It's turned that series into quite a show. Of course, Golden State has some other people in other places who can contribute and move things forward, and that's the matchup issue that they cause for folks with other – see. But the question is, you know, when will we see Kevin Durant return to the team? That is the big question. Just the way he reacted, if you remember when Durant suffered the injury, just the way he reacted to it and the way he looked walking off the floor didn't look like something he was going to come just bounce right back from and be back out there. He's a big ingredient, because if they're going to win the series against Portland, and I think both of these series look right, the way they're looking right now, we're probably looking at 5-game series for both of them. I think Portland gets a game. I think Toronto gets a game. I think both of them are 5-game series. You know, you get to the finals, Golden State can go in the way they are right now, and still, they're a tough out. They're a tough out because they've been there before. You got people there with experience and playing their different roles. But I'm telling you, this Milwaukee team, what I've seen with them, the versatility, you know, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to put a couple of bodies, if you can, on Giannis. What about Brook Lopez? You know, he came up and scored big time the other night. I mean, who's going to stop him? You know, so, I mean, that's some real issues that they present along with experience that can come off their bench. And I just like the way they're looking right now. I really do. So we'll see what happens, you know, going forward with them. But I think that Milwaukee's just a team that's set to give anyone, whoever it is, a very difficult time, you know, in the finals. Looking at some of the awards that were announced yesterday, finalists for some of the awards and the NBA awards, of course, they're going to be announced June 24th. They're going to make those announcements in Los Angeles, who the winners are. MVP, three finalists, Giannis Antetokounmpo, not a surprise. Paul George, not a surprise. And James Harden. I think they got it right with those three. I do believe those are the top three. And some people say, well, what about Kevin Durant? You know, could have been someone with Golden State because of where Golden State is. I think that these three were the top three. Yes, and then the Rookie of the Year, DeAndre Ayton, for the Suns, Luka Doncic, for the Mavericks, and Trae Young of our Atlanta Hawks. Now, you know who I'm feeling. I think Trae should get it. A lot of people think that Luka and all the work that he did early in the season, and Trae really came on strong at the back half of the season, but they feel like Luka may have done so much more in the early parts of the season that it may be his award. We will see. My vote's for Trae if I had a vote. I don't have one. If I had one, it would be for Trae Young. But that's for Rookie of the Year. Also, some hometown folks in the six-man award. Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers. Domantas Sabonis for the Pacers. And Lou Williams, also from the Clippers. And he's hometown product, South Gwinnett High School. And just continues to be that six-man that just comes off the bench and just gives you the instant offense. Not the biggest guy, but continues to just to get it done. You heard, you know, Gil Tyree was on with me last Sunday morning, and we talked a little bit about him, and he mentioned what this guy continues to do and continues to bring as his career goes on in the NBA. So some home folks up for that award. Also for the defensive player, two people of your MVP are also up for the defensive player of the year. Giannis Antetokounmpo is up for defensive player, Paul George, and Rudy Gobert. From the Utah Jazz. And for Coach of the Year, Doc Rivers, the Clippers, Michael Malone of the Nuggets, and Mike Budenholzer of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I would have to, you know, give a vote to Coach Bud if I had one. I just think the job that he's done with his Milwaukee team has been just remarkable to the fact that they're not just a one-man show. And here they are now, two wins away from making it into the final. And what does this do for Toronto? Think of all the years Toronto had this great team in the East, and they couldn't get past LeBron. And now LeBron's gone, and look like they still won't make it to the final. We'll see. I mean, they could get back home to Toronto and flip a switch, and come out and look like a new team when they play the next time against Milwaukee. It could happen. After all, they got up to a good start in game one in Milwaukee. But to lose the way it went down last night, man, to me, that's tough. That's very tough to overcome. So we'll watch and see what happens with that as well as we watch NBA postseason. And, of course, the lottery draw this week. And, you know, we saw that the Hawks got 8-10. Yeah, and Zion, you know, got picked. The pick going to New Orleans, of all places. And as you know, in Atlanta, we kind of don't care for those folks down in New Orleans too much, most from a football perspective. We don't have that kind of rivalry with them for basketball. But the New Orleans folks, I'm sure, are going to roll out the red carpet for Zion and see what they can do with that. I think they're going to probably get some players. I don't think we're going to see he and Anthony Davis together. I think Anthony Davis is going to get packaged in some type of deal that will bring some talent there that will play alongside Zion and make that team an interesting team and see who else he attracts. People think it was a bad thing for the league because he didn't go to New York or he didn't go to one of the big major markets that it's bad for the league. And I'm like, in this day and age, does that really matter? I seemed like he was kind of looking forward to the challenge of New York. But in this day and age where everything's streamed and guys do their own media, play wherever. Think about it. Think about the teams that are in the finals right now. I mean, Toronto's a big city, but it's outside of the United States. You know, Golden State is San Francisco, but Portland would be considered one of those markets. Milwaukee would be considered one of those smaller markets. They have the teams. They have the players. And you don't hear those players screaming to get out from those smaller markets. I think Giannis is in Milwaukee to stay. I do. Lillard says he wants to stay in Portland. He's not looking to go somewhere else, some bigger market, and join in with a cavalcade of superstars in the name of getting a ring. He wants to try to build it up and make it happen there. So, yeah, it can happen for Zion in New Orleans. It can. And we'll see what happens, what goes along with him. But I think we have something in our front office is going to go to work. And we could be surprised at what player falls to Atlanta at number 8. I think it could be a pleasant surprise. We're looking for someone, obviously a wing. Obviously, I would like to get a rim protector. I think the team needs to look into a big fella to go in there and handle some business. So that's what I'm looking for as the team goes. I don't know what you feel in the Hawks ought to go for or ought to pursue with the 8 and 10. And who knows those second-round picks? We got 3 second-round picks as well. But that's what we're watching for and see what happens with that. So that's more. We're going to talk more NBA at the top of the hour. A dismissal from the league. That also happened yesterday. We get into that next hour. But coming up next, we'll talk some high school and hear from the coach of a state championship team that hit a milestone. That's coming up next when you continue on this Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw looking outside the window. A 9 pulls up in the Kia Studios. Nice looking morning. Hope it is for you wherever you are on this Saturday morning. Here with you until 8 a.m. and the Sports Insider comes your way. High school football. Well, not high school football. That was happening this week. Spring football. We'll get into that later. But talk about the state championships. State championships for spring sports are going on today. The soccer state championships at McEachern. You got 4 games there. You got the Cula versus Harrison girls, Gainesville versus Dalton boys, Lambert girls against North Gwinnett, Lambert boys against Lakeside, DeKalb, and down at Mercer, you got some games there. It's all Fayette County, Whitewater versus McIntosh girls, McIntosh versus Stars Mill boys going on down there. And also lacrosse championships are going on at Kennesaw State up at Fifth Third Stadium. You got the 10:30 today. You got the 5A girls, Blessed Trinity against Stars Mill, 1 o'clock, 6A to 7A boys, Walton versus Lambert. Lovett in Westminster at 3 o'clock in the 5A boys, and the last one at 5 o'clock will be the girls, Milton against Mill Creek, and those are your state lacrosse championships coming up today. Last week was state championship for track and field, and a team did something special that hadn't happened for a while in the school. And joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline to talk about it, talking about Campbell High School track team and their head coach, Brian Smith, joining us. Coach Smith, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How you doing? And you guys have to be great. Talk about winning this state championship and how'd you guys go about doing that?
Well, you know, it was the kids did everything. You know, we got a great coaching staff, but the kids have been putting in work the entire year. You know, this is a process that started, you know, back in August when the kids first got to school with us lifting weights. And then we kind of progressed into our off-season training. So it's a year-round thing. So to see the kids to actually accomplish a goal, you know, knowing that it started back in August is a real big deal for them. Awesome accomplishment for the school and for the community. First state championship in the school since 1994. So it's been 25 years since the school has experienced the state champion. So it was a big deal in the school, big deal for the community, big deal for the kids.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Brian Smith. He's the head coach track, girls track program at Campbell High School. They won the state championship last week. Talk about your team because you have some nationally ranked numbers you're putting up with some of your teams, some of your relay teams, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, our 4x1 team is like number 8 in the country. 4x4 team is the top 20 as well in the country, and we've got a lot of individual girls that have run top 20 times in the country. Ashton Lindley, Mackenzie Kelly, just to name a few. A lot of kids ranked top 5, top 10 in the state of Georgia. So you know, for you to be, you know, in the top 10 in the state of Georgia, which is a real big track state, you know, we represented well, I think, just around the country. A lot of talent in the state of Georgia. So for us to win a team title, you know, up against a real good competition, you know, you got your Westlakes of the world and your Keatrims and Mariettas and Waltons, you know, so for us to be able to beat those teams that have got a lot of tradition, you know, I was just super proud for the kids, and it was just goes back to all the work that they put in.
And, of course, you guys had a little adversity because there was some rainy weather that came through. I don't know how you guys deal with a wet track, but you guys were running up at Berry College up at Rome last Saturday. And thoughts about that, did that concern you when the weather kind of changed up a little bit?
Not really. You know, we train in the rain and we train outside. You know, we don't really have the facilities, you know, to train inside when it rains. So, you know, the kids have really been mentally and physically prepared, you know, for the rain because it's something that we – you know, practicing, and we talk about, you know, every time the weather isn't good, you know, this is something that we've got to learn how to mentally, you know, get through. And and it was funny because, you know, the forecast last weekend was, you know, 70% chance of rain to 90% the entire day. And we're out there doing handoffs, you know, for the 4x1, getting our practice in, and it started pouring down rain. And, you know, every team out there ran to get inside their tents, but our girls stayed on the track while it was pouring down rain. And you know, and we're getting excited and jumping up and down. And I kind of knew at that moment, you know, with all the other teams running off the track and we stayed out there and we're getting excited. I was like, wow, it looks like it's going to be a big day. And both of our 4x1 teams, our A and our B team, scored extremely well in that. We got first and fourth, you know. So for us to have 8 girls that are top 4 in the state, you know, in 7A was a big deal. And, you know, and again, it just goes back to the mental toughness of our kids and the amount of work that they put in and the focus that they had. So it was a big thing.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Brian Smith. He's the head coach of the girls track program, state championship team with Campbell High School. Now, you guys have come close to this sometimes, and I don't know how you process that with track, that they've come close to get over the hump and finally win it, but this is something you guys have come close to a time or two.
Yes. You know, the program has gotten second place twice now in the last 5 years. So, you know, for us to really just put everything together and finish. And the biggest thing with us in the last couple of years is that we haven't been able to finish. It's always come down to the 4x4, and we just come up short, you know, in those big moments. So, you know, we had a veteran team this year, a lot of juniors, not so many seniors, but we've had a lot of kids that have been to the state meet before. And I think the experience of us being there in the past and, you know, and not quite finishing was a big factor as well, because it wasn't new to the kids. It wasn't their first time being there. They had been in that type of moment before. So I think the experience of being there and the disappointment of being second twice before, you know, really motivated the kids, you know, for us to go ahead and finish the races. And it showed up on, you know, on the race day or on the track, you know, by the way that they just really competed the entire day. You know, we got fourth in the 100. We got second in the short hurdles. We got second and third, or second and fourth in the 200. We got first and second in the 400. We got first and third in the long hurdles. You know, first and fourth in both relays. And we had a bunch of kids in the field event. So, you know, they really just stepped up in the moment. And I think a lot of that had to do with the experience that we gained over the last couple of years of being to the state meet and, you know, and the kids having the experience of being there and just being in the moment. And I think the work ethic and just the training that we did this year just allowed us to finish at a high level.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. Getting that championship, nothing else like it. Coach Mill, we thank you for getting up this morning. Well, you may already be up anyway on Saturday morning. Track coach, you probably already up.
We are. Yeah, I'm already, you know, we got softball games. My own girls got softball games. We're about to head over to a tournament. So, yes, we're getting ready. And I got them over here doing push-ups.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Congratulations to you and your team for being state champions, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
All right. That is Coach Brian Smith over at Campbell High School. The girls win the state championship track last week. Tremendous job they've done. And, hey, been there a couple of times, couldn't get past it, and they got it last week. And you can hear the excitement in his voice. He got folks up doing push-ups early this time of morning. That's Coach. He's doing what he does. But congratulations to them, and congratulations to all of the track champions from last weekend. were able to win. And good luck to those who are going for state championships today in soccer and lacrosse. All right, headed for the top of the hour. Next hour, Adam Alexander is going to join us. They're going to fire the engines and run NASCAR's All-Star Race tonight. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw, into our second hour. Sun coming up on a beautiful, beautiful morning. I hope it all is well wherever you are. We're 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, and it looks simply glorious from up here. I hope you plan to get out and do something special and enjoy the good weather today, but also enjoy some of the great sports that's going on this weekend. Of course, we're your home for Atlanta United, and they go back to work tomorrow against the New York Red Bulls. You can hear it here, pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 5. Yes, Atlanta United just rolling on. Let's see if they can get another one. We love the way this team is rolling right now, the way they're playing. And, you know, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will be there with your pregame and your play-by-play call, everything you need to know to get you ready for it. Of course, we got on our website everything you need to know about Atlanta United. We got podcasts. We got interviews. We got stories and so much more, blogs and so much more at 929thegame.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at 929thegame for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all there. As well. So lots of things with the Braves going on there, lots of things with the Hawks, and the draft pick. Of course, some of you came down and enjoyed 92.9 The Game for the draft lottery draw party that was at State Farm Arena this week. We thank you for coming out and partying with 92.9 The Game and the Hawks. And we got that 8 and 10 pick. We're going to do something good with that. I just feel like we're going to do something really special with that selection. Braves are home today, later today. 7:15 game time as they'll be home against the Milwaukee Brewers. And things went really well last night out at SunTrust. 12-8 the final score, and the Braves hung a crooked letter. You love when the team can hang a crooked letter. They hung a crooked letter. They had 9 runs in the 6th inning. And when you got Max Fried on the mound, that's going to put you in a pretty good chance, in a pretty good shape to get a win. Max Fried goes 6 innings, surrenders just 2 hits, walks 2, strikes out 5, and no earned runs. And, you know, leaves the game after that. Got great support at the plate. Home runs by Donaldson, Flowers, Freeman, and Swanson. My goodness, all those good things happen. Still the bullpen, a little reason for concern. You know, not as airtight as you wanted to see them be, and surrendering some runs and making it interesting. In the latter stages of the game, as Milwaukee struck for a run in the 7th, they got 3 in the 8th. They got 4 in the 9th before the Braves were able to get them out and win by a score of 12-8. Nevertheless, it's a win, and it's what you want to see from your team. And continuing big hits, Ronald Acuna, 3-for-4 in the game, 3 RBI. Austin Riley continuing to hit. What a story he's been this week. Comes up, he started in left field again last night, got a couple of hits. Young man just came over from Gwinnett, took the drive from Buford around to Smyrna, and he hadn't stopped hitting since he got off the bus. he's just been hitting everything, and just been playing well, much to the delight of Braves fans who've been reading about him and maybe been out to Gwinnett to watch him play. And he certainly come up this week and brought some energy and excitement to the ballpark and to the clubhouse and everyone there. And he's just enjoying it. Seems like he's showed up just in time to see this team play this stretch of really good baseball, beating the Cardinals and then beating Milwaukee. They'll go at it again today, 7:15 game time. And Kevin Gausman will be on the mound, 2-3 his record so far. Had a much better outing his last time out. Chase Anderson will get the start for Milwaukee. He's coming back off the IL. We see how well he pitches in that. Braves now trail Philadelphia by 1.5 games. And, you know, last week out in Los Angeles and they dropped 4 in a row. They had gotten up to like a 5-game lead. A little reason for concern. Then the Braves take 3 out of 4 in Arizona and they come home and continue to play well. I know it. Greg's on the other side of the glass. Said, can't help you. I know. but that's a good thing for our baseball team. And like I said, 1.5 games behind Philly. We can keep those guys in striking distance, keep them in range, keep them in view. And, you know, just you know, we don't want them to get too far out in front of us. The bullpen, once again, is a concern. last night. And, you know, we just, like Jordan said, we got the starting rotation. You know, we're wondering about Mike Fulton-Evich, and we hope he's going to, you know, return to his form for the team. That's, to me, that's the one question mark. We had a great outing with Julio Teheran this week. Just solid outings from the starting pitching, getting you those six, sometimes seven innings that you need so you don't wear your bullpen out and have to go to your bullpen a whole lot. But last night was one of those nights after Freed had gone six innings. You figure, okay, let's look at the bullpen to work with the lead. They come in with a big, healthy lead in the game. And to me, it's not what you wanted to see. I mean, you're facing a tough team. You're facing a very difficult team in Milwaukee. They are. They're a talented team, and you don't want to give them a lot of opportunities. And
Hey, you need some help. Hang on a second.
Oh, wait, what you bring?
Y'all talk amongst yourselves a second. Here you go. Here you go, brother. Take a little sip for yourself.
Do I gargle this?
Come on. We ain't supposed to have this in here anyway. Get back here.
You don't get me in trouble with the boss.
All right.
I'm fine, man. See.
Don't lose your voice.
He'll be back next week. Greg will be back here with me next week, y'all. He's on the other side of the glass. He has brought me a little sip.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's great. PGA Championship going to continue without Tiger Woods. He shot a 72-73, plus five, and he is gone. Will not continue to play through the weekend, and he had good company. Bubba Watson is gone. Sergio Garcia is gone. But the guy who is there is Brooks Koepka, and right now, if he goes out and just shoots maybe two under par today, he will have a victory lap tomorrow because he has a seven-shot lead going into the third round at Bethpage. And right behind, I mean, seven shots back of Jordan Spieth and Adam Scott and Dustin Johnson's like another shot back. And he's going to have to really come back to the field if those guys are going to have a chance. He's really going to have to come back to the field. So we'll see what happens if that plays out today. A little disappointment for a lot of folks who are looking forward to watching some Tiger Woods over the weekend. You're not going to see any Tiger Woods this weekend. But you will see the PGA Championship, and you probably put on a show with Brooks Koepka. You're watching something special with him because he's really taming a course as opposed to devour the golfers, and he's going out and he's handling his business and looking great and doing it. So we'll watch for that this weekend as well. Preakness is happening today. I don't know which horses you're watching up there at Pimlico, considering all the horses that are not there, but that's still going on. Today as well, NBA playoffs continuing this evening. Golden State and Portland. The scene has shifted to Portland. The Blazers down 0-2. The Golden State, they look pretty like they're going to run this series. I don't think they're going to sweep Portland. I think Portland will win a game in this series, and maybe they'll win this one tonight. We'll see. Golden State has gone back to what the formula we saw them before Kevin Durant joined the team. You know, Iguodala, you know, Draymond, the Splash Brothers doing what they do, filling it up from three-point range. They just fall back on what got them to the top to begin with. Those pieces are still in place, and they remember what it took to get there and win it before, and they're going about the business. And so we watch and see what happens with them. But to me, that's what they're doing. They've just dropped back into that mode. If you heard earlier in our show, we heard a clip from Steve Kerr, still not sure when Kevin Durant is going to return. And his injury is a little more severe than he originally thought, which doesn't surprise me at all. And I think the longer he's out, the longer, to me, we get closer to the place that he may not return at all. He may not return for this series anyway. Then maybe they feel like they've got a good handle on things with Portland and they're not going to rush him back. And, you know, if anything, they get to the final, have him there. They will need him if they get to Milwaukee. They will. Because, to me, if they don't have Kevin Durant, they won't beat Milwaukee. Not the way Milwaukee has looked in the first two games against Toronto. Beat them last night, 125-103. And it's not just a one-man show. It's not just Giannis. A lot of people think, well, Giannis goes out there, the Greek freak. He got 30 points, 17 rebounds. Those are nice numbers. But they put six players in double figures. That is what does it. And when a team like Milwaukee can go out and get points from their bench, the versatility of that team and the matchup problems they can cause for whoever it is they face and the defense that they play, I'm listening to the game last night on radio, and I'm listening to Hubie Brown talk about the defensive effort that they have and what they're doing to frustrate Kawhi Leonard, who still got his points, but not a lot of people came along with him. You know, he got 31 points. That was good for him. 8 rebounds. Siakam is usually the guy that runs with him, and he only had 8 points last night. That's the thing that could be tough. Kyle Lowry, 15. They're going to need a lot more than that. And they go up against a Milwaukee team that scored 64 points in the first half. They put up some numbers, and they played some stifling defense. And let's see if they can bottle it up and take it on the road. We'll see what happens with that. Other NBA news, something that's rather disappointing. Tyreke Evans disqualified from the NBA for 2 years. Disqualified from the league for violating the terms of the NBA's anti-drug program. And he's eligible for possible reinstatement in 2 years. So that's 2 years out. And this is a player who at age 29 was set to become a free agent this offseason. And now that won't happen. And he joins a list of players who, you know, you heard one of the more recent ones was O.J. Mayo, Chris Anderson. There have been others down through the years. But for people who don't remember, the very first player to receive a ban from the NBA played for the Atlanta Hawks. And he was a really good player for this team. And he's a part of a great Atlanta sports trivia question. You know, if you have a chance to see this guy play. He came to Atlanta in the mid-70s out of Gardner Webb, a guy named John Drew. Didn't have the prettiest game, but it was effective. You know, you look up and he's got you 24, 23, 25 points a game. A lot of offensive rebounds. He was 6'6 and could jump out of the gym. But he, you know, had problems with substance abuse, and he was the first person to get the ban from the NBA. And after his time, and he was part of a trivia question because he is the player that was traded to Utah for the rights to Dominique Wilkins. Remember, Dominique wasn't drafted by the Hawks. He's at Utah. And John Drew was part of that. And Drew left the game, disappeared several years ago, resurfaced in Houston, and said he was clean. And we hope he's able to stay that. Now 64 years old. But John Drew was part of a trivia question, always for Sportsland sports fans, the first one to get this punishment from the NBA. All right, coming up next. Left turns in Charlotte. We're going to fire the engines and go racing under the lights. It's time for the All-Star Race. Adam Alexander from FS1 joins us next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw, what this Saturday morning. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Beautiful outside. Our windows here in lovely Midtown Atlanta. Hope all is well wherever you are. Work our way up to the top of the hour. And Dan Kamala, the Sports Insider. Okay, up in Charlotte. They're going to fire the engines tonight. The lights will come on. And they will have NASCAR's All-Star Racing. And joining us now from Charlotte on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Guy keeps an eye on all things with NASCAR, especially there, Adam Alexander from FS1. Adam, good morning.
Sam, how are you today?
Always great. Great to hear from you. Always good to catch up with you. And the thing I want to ask you, first of all, is what are the next 2 weeks like? Because you get to sleep in your own – you and a lot of people get to sleep in your own bed the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny, Sam, that the balance – of being at home, because it's always nice, as you said, to sleep in your own bed and have life be somewhat normal, even though you're still covering the races, and typically that involves travel and being in a hotel somewhere. On the other side of that, because everyone in NASCAR is home for a two-week period, they try to cram a lot of promotional items, fundraisers, foundation events, that kind of thing, into the two-week period when everyone's here in and around Charlotte. And so it is busy. It kind of takes you out of your routine of, you know, when you're on the road, you kind of develop a system and a way of doing things as far as preparation and all of that. And that changes when you're at home. You have those normal home responsibilities. And so it's a unique couple of weeks for sure. But being in your own bed and having a short drive to the racetrack and not getting on an airplane, that trumps everything else that comes with these couple of weeks.
Yeah. One thing that always happens is new things and developmental things. I think we've seen with this race, you know, especially in recent year, paint schemes, paint themes, And also a race package that we got last year that, you know, made racing better. What are you looking for to come out of, you know, today and tonight and the next week?
Well, I think probably there's not as much anticipation for tonight's Arrow setup as there was last year, just because last year was so new and exciting and met with so much anticipation that you probably can't bottle that up again and recreate it for this year. But I do think that the excitement comes in knowing that what we see on these cars tonight could be a strong foundation and a real nice peek into the future into the Gen 7 car, which will debut in 2021. And I believe NASCAR has done a great thing in debuting these types of rule setups in the All-Star race, that they could take three or four cars to Charlotte any day of the week and test it. You could leave a couple of cars up in Michigan after we race there, do the same in Daytona this summer, and on and on. But when you put three or four cars on track, you don't get a real feel because, one, those guys aren't competing, and number two, you really need a group of 15, 20, 30 cars to figure out how they're really going to react in that configuration. The All-Star race provides that. Teams want to win. They're going to compete. And you've got enough cars out there to get a true test of what this particular Arrow setup and the dynamics of the cars will be like in real race conditions. So I think this is a good idea by NASCAR, and I applaud the teams for participating. And I think it'll be fun to watch and see what we learn.
Spending time on the WadeFord.com hotline this morning with Adam Alexander. You can follow him always on Twitter at Adam1Alexander, all lowercase, Adam1Alexander. Thoughts about this race now? You know, we're looking at things, and Clint Boyer is on the pole. Been a while since we've seen him on the pole. And I saw something he put on, posted on social media, $1 million, which you get for winning this particular race. No points, but there's a big, big purse on the line.
Well, there is, and, you know, it was 10 years ago tonight, like I say tonight, 10 years ago, All-Star Weekend 2009, that Stewart Haas Racing got their first win, Sam, with Tony Stewart driving that 14 car. And here we are 10 years later, and Clint Boyer trying to get him their first win of the year. It's pretty hard to believe that that group, when you consider all the success they had last year, all four of the drivers won, all four made the round of eight. They've gone through the first dozen races this season and have not produced a winner. All-Star race is different. It's not a points event, but they would love to capture a checkered flag any way they can. And it would appear, based on what we saw in practice yesterday, and you alluded to the qualifying times and Clint Boyer being on the pole, that they're going to have a really good chance tonight to go out and get it done.
Kevin Harvick won this thing a year ago. He's going to run tonight in a car with a rather interesting theme. I think he's had like memes and emojis all over. I've seen the picture that's like this odd color of pink. And he got a made fun of it. But I think it will catch a lot of people's attention tonight.
Well, Busch Beer is one of his sponsors, and they put together this millennial car. And so littered all over the car is what you alluded to, all these different millennial catchphrases and shortcuts on ways to, you know, communicate via text message and other social media platforms. And Kevin has gotten more mileage out of this than you can imagine. It's just been so funny to watch his reaction as a 40-something to driving a pink millennial themed car. He even had some avocado toast a few weeks ago and talked about eating healthy and what the millennials do. So it has been really funny to watch this whole thing unfold with Kevin driving a millennial car and getting educated on what all the different phrases mean, and to watch him participate and kind of bring something from a different side. And you know, you said earlier, All-Star Night's about different paint schemes, and this is certainly one of the more unique ones we've seen.
Yep, it is. I had a chance to take a look at that. Looking forward to seeing that. Spending time on the WadeFord.com hotline with Adam Alexander from FS1, getting set to fire the engines tonight for NASCAR's All-Star race. I go all the way back to 92 in the first one at night there in Charlotte, and it was just an adventure, first of all, to see the cars under the lights. I just remember what a wild time that whole race was. Davy Allison won it, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. was there. Then he got spun, and his car was pinned against the wall, and the fans doused him with beer. this race has been known for unusual things to happen.
Darrell Walter won the first one in 1985, and the minute he crossed the start-finish line, his engine just exploded. So they were totally prepared to go the distance on the nose, and then the hand, it looked like a hand grenade blew up in that car, but then he just exploded as he crossed the start-finish line and went into turn one. So that was a dramatic way to start the All-Star race, then called the Winston. And it's really played out that way ever since. You talked about what happened in 1992, the wild finish with Davy Allison winning a race that's been dubbed One Hot Night. It was the first ever night race in All-Star competition. I think it was 1987, that Darrell Walter looked like he was going to win again. Rusty Wallace spun him. Rusty wins. And Darrell says he can choke on that $200,000 because at that time the prize to win was $200,000. Carl Edwards won, spun through the grass doing his burnout and hit a drainage grade on the infield grass.
Yeah, I remember that.
Tore his car all apart. I think about Jeff Gordon when they got the backup cars out. They all went into turn one. It rained. They wrecked. And NASCAR allowed them to get backup cars out, and Gordon went on to win. So there have been some real crazy moments in the history of the All-Star race.
Think about a driver, who's been trying to get there, and the guy we've been watching for, and just because of what he's accomplished, Jimmy Johnson. What's going on, with him? And we had some changes with him coming into this season, sponsor and crew. How is that progressing? And do you think this year we have a chance to see him find his way to the checkered flag?
Well, I think that's a major question mark. There were times in years past where I would have sat here and said, Sam, we're talking about a seven-time champion, a guy that's got over 80 wins. It's just a matter of time before they find the sweet spot and go out and start winning races. And I think that that's to be determined. Is it capable? Is he capable? Is that team capable? Yes. I think all of it can come together and they can find their way. And the Hendrick cars have shown better speed here in recent weeks. Chase, won at Talladega. Alex Bowman has been really good with three consecutive runner-up finishes. They've been qualifying better. I just think that 48 team has been a step or two off and probably has gotten a little bit dinged in the confidence category. And so they need to find their way. I think Jimmy is still competing like he always has. The reality is he has a rookie crew chief in Kevin Mendring, who I'm sure is still learning Jimmy and learning the paces of doing business at the top level in NASCAR. I certainly hope he wins, because here's the other factor. When you look at where they are in regard to the playoff standings, he's hovering right around the cut line. He has no breathing room right now. And so if you get some oddball winners throughout the summer, and Jimmy doesn't win and their performance doesn't pick up and become more consistent, not only could we be talking about him not winning, we could be talking about them not making it into the playoffs. That winless streak right now, is it 2 years? I mean, there's a lot going on with Jimmy Johnson right now.
Yeah, we'll watch see what happens with him. Meanwhile, there's a guy on the point for the open race tonight, Daniel Hemric. A rookie will be on the pole for that race. I think the top three come into the All-Star race. Thoughts about him and what's he doing so far?
He's a rookie. He drives for Richard Childress Racing. And I think he's someone to watch, not just in the Open, but as we get into All-Star. You were given the rundown of some of the top qualifiers earlier, and one of the names mentioned is Austin Dillon. And Hemric is his teammate. And those two have continued to get better in the early portion of the year. And I think this is a race that's kind of made for him, because the one thing RCR has had a hard time doing this year is finishing races. But I think they've proven at different times that they have speed in their race cars. And this All-Star format may suit them very well. It's not 400 miles. It's not 500 miles. It's a shootout. And I think that favors them. And if you look at the history of All-Star, it's a little bit of a who's who. A lot of NASCAR champions and Hall of Famers on the wins list when you look at the history of this race dating back to the mid-'80s. But I think the format does set up for us to have a little bit of a wild card pull into victory lane. And if you were going to pick an underdog, I think you would probably look at a guy like a Daniel Hemric, who's quite capable of advancing out of the open because he has a great car and he's starting on the pole and then putting himself in position in the All-Star race to make something happen.
All right, we'll be watching for that. Of course, that comes your way at 6 o'clock. That gets things started tonight up in Charlotte. Adam, we thank you for spending some time with us and giving us a preview. Enjoy the races tonight. We'll be enjoying your call.
All right, man. I love being with you, Sam. You guys have a great Saturday.
All right, you too now. That is Adam Alexander joining us from Charlotte. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Adam1Alexander. He's from FS1. All right, coming up next, and dive back into things that are coming up today. What are you going to watch? PGA Championship, playoffs, Braves, Preakness, that and more. And we got a heavyweight title fight tonight. Stay tuned. Come back with more after this time out on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you 9 floors up on a glorious Saturday morning here in Midtown Atlanta. Working our way up to the top of the hour. Dan Kamal and the Sports Insider will come your way. As he has made his way in. Yep, there's Dan. He's made his way here. He's here on time. Great to see him here. I don't remember. Well, I do remember. Remember to remind you, Atlanta United goes back to work tomorrow on the road against New York Red Bulls. This is the team that is giving us some problems. You mean, like I said, I see them as being our rival more so than Orlando because of the problems that Red Bulls has given us in the first couple of seasons of MLS play here in town. So tomorrow, pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 5, and see if this team can continue this amazing role that they have been on. It's been great to see a lot of different players contributing, people stepping up as others, took a break. We had some key players that didn't travel for Vancouver, didn't hurt the team. They continue to roll, so that is coming up tomorrow. Also coming up today, Braves are home, 7:15 game time this evening, taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. Got a big win, 12-8 last night. Kevin Gausman will get the start. His record at 2-3. Had a great outing his last time out as this starting rotation. The one guy we want to get back in stride is Mike Fulton-Everidge, but the starting rotation is doing great. Max Fried, 6 innings, only 2 hits, no runs last night. That was a great performance by him once again. NBA playoffs rolling on tonight. You got Golden State and Portland. The scene shifts to Portland. Golden State with a 2-0 advantage in that series. We'll see what happens up there as Milwaukee has a 2-0 advantage over Toronto in their best of 7 series. And Dan's coming in. Dan, Dan Kamal's here. What do you think about the NBA playoffs so far? You been watching much of it?
I thought it was predestined that Golden State is going to win 3rd in a row, but I don't know, man. Giannis.
Yeah,
especially if Durant's
not there, they're in
healthy
trouble.
Or slowed down considerably. If he's out there, I think the Bucks could do this. I still would put the mortgage money on the Warriors. But man, Giannis is what a talent.
But the thing of it is, there's more talent with him than people may imagine. They say, okay, Giannis.
You saying there's some good depth on that team.
Good
sure.
depth, good
veteran
bench.
Depth. Yeah.
And so to me, that makes a difference.
And how about Brooke Lopez, 29 points? That's crazy. Come on.
But you got a guy like that. If you're going to go and double cover Giannis, who's going to get Brooke Lopez?
What a performance that was by him.
Yeah.
The guy's a proven big man, and he's got a touch out there.
He
and
does.
He took control of that game in the fourth quarter.
He can step outside and let it fly and all those type of things. So that's coming up today. No Tiger Woods. You disappointed that there's no Tiger?
You know what? I'm not. I'm really not. I just think, golf has to figure out, take the training wheels off. You know what I mean? You got to figure out a way to survive without Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's 43 years old. He's been through so much. I think we should appreciate that he won the Masters, and anything else is going to be, in my mind, gravy, but we should be celebrating Brooks Koepka. I think it's got to be one of those on both sides have to give a little bit. He has to get that chip off his shoulder somewhat, and the media has to embrace him a little bit more.
Yeah.
Too many media people left the room before the tournament started when the defending champion went in to hold his press conference because Tiger had already left. Come on.
Yeah.
Media, do your job.
Well, that's the thing. And also the fact that they were paired together. And maybe that helps. the fact that they were paired together for the first two rounds,
it didn't
get to see him, you know.
It didn't help Tiger.
Well, no,
when Brooks, what was that, a 30-something foot putt for Bird on the first hole while Tiger was double bogey? I mean, Tiger's tournament was over right there.
I know it. I think you want to see Tiger play well out in a tournament when he's paired with Koepka. I think that's kind of good for the game and good for golf. Because as you said, you know, the torch has to get passed at some point. And, you know, this is the second chance. The tour's good. They had the first time around with Tiger. They get this Tiger, you know, a second time around, and the guy's able to play alongside him. To me, that may be.
You know, it's a good question, Sammy. What athletes have stepped up when the pressure is the highest, whether it be baseball playoffs or NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs or golf majors? Koepka is one of those guys.
Yeah, he is.
When the stage is bigger, he gets more relaxed and more focused, which is kind of the opposite of the way it's supposed to happen, right?
If he goes out and gets at least 200 par today, it's going to be a victory lap tomorrow. Is that blessing or curse?
Probably a curse for the sport and, I mean, short term for the sport and for whoever, who's televising, I don't even know.
CBS.
But broad brush, I think it's good. I think golf needs a new superhero. But he's got to ramp up his embraceability too, though.
Yeah. The other things that we have to work on and stuff, and social media and that type thing, stuff that Tiger didn't have to deal with.
Well, Tiger, I mean, he was just, I mean, just his, everything about him, his youth, his swagger, his ethnicity, everything about him just broke open so many new avenues for the sport. It's something, I don't think we'll ever see that again. But the game can grow again without Tiger, but these guys have to figure it out. These guys have to figure out how to grow it without Tiger being at the forefront.
Yeah. But did you get your new Tiger shirt? Did you see? You hear about the new Tiger shirt that he has out?
I did not.
There's a new. You know, he had the TW logo for so long.
Yeah.
There is a new Tiger logo with this. It's like this. His head cover. The head cover for his driver.
Oh yeah.
They made a logo out of that. It's called Frank because the logos the head cover is called Frank.
Frank
the Tiger.
Oh, the Tigers, that's the name of the head cover.
Nike quietly dropped this shirt yesterday on their website, and it exploded, and it sold out. And so now they got them on eBay for like anywhere from $150 to like $300 if you want to buy this polo. Now, the T-shirt has been out since around the Masters, but the polo just came, and they didn't announce it or anything. They just quietly put it out there on their website, and poof.
Any Koepka shirts selling?
Well, you know what? Well, he's got Nike as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Guy shot 128 for the first two rounds of the majors.
I know it.
I mean, that's a record. No one's ever done that. You know, he had 30 putts yesterday.
Yeah.
That means he only had 35 other shots on Bethpage. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That course was supposed to devour all the golfers. Everything.
He's so strong, even when he ends up. Yeah. See him birdie 18 from the rough?
Yeah.
Come on.
That is Dan Kamal, folks. He's got Sports Insiders coming up next. Just want to remind you about that. And also, we got our heavyweight title fight tonight. Deontay Wilder going to put a version of the heavyweight title championship on the line, see what happens up at Barclays Center up in New York City, and we'll see what happens with that. And also the Preakness, I think improbable at 5-2 odds is the favorite. I think that's the top Derby horse that returns. I think that one finished fourth after the instant replay and the awarding of the title to Country Horse or Country Ham or Country House or whatever his name is. But Improbable is at 5-2 if you're going to watch. That's coming up today up at Pimlico.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.